Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is the Gospel which was just read from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. I will reread just verse 50. Jesus said to the nobleman, "Go your way, your son lives." And the man believed the word Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. In the name of the Lord Jesus, dear friends, one of the aspects of ministering to God's people, which can be such a tremendous source of joy and blessing, is calling on the sick and the shut-in. That aspect of ministering to God's people can bring such joy and blessing into our lives because it's an opportunity to bring God's word to their lives, to speak to people's needs as only that word can, replacing their despair with consolation, their confusion with clarity, and any chaos in their life with comfort. But what about you and I? Here we are in this seemingly sheltered environment at the seminary. Certainly, we aren't immune to this same despair, that same confusion, that same chaos in our lives. Yes, indeed, we see affliction here also. Affliction that may come from the loss of a loved one. Affliction that may come from some personal problem in our own lives as well. Yes, we see affliction here, and we also here see the need for the same ministry from God's word of comfort. And that is the same ministry which Jesus brings to the nobleman in the gospel which was just read. For here was an opportunity for Jesus to bring his word of comfort to where the nobleman was hurting, to speak to the nobleman's needs, to give him a faith which was strengthened so that his faith could become a faith which endures. For in this our text, Jesus turns the nobleman to a faith which trusts only in his word. Jesus had just returned to Cana of Galilee. Undoubtedly, the news had spread like wildfire about the miracles that Jesus was accomplishing as he traveled about. And as that news spread so fast, the Holy Spirit had evidently lighted a spark of faith in the heart of the nobleman. For it was this spark of faith which sent that nobleman on his journey from his home in Capernaum to Cana. Obviously, the nobleman was also driven by his own despair at this point, from his own helplessness, for his son was very ill, even at the point of death. Jesus was certainly the only one to whom the nobleman could turn for help. Almost anyone who has ever made a hospital call, or anyone who's ever stood over the bed of a brother or a sister, can identify and relate to the nobleman's anxiety. Even we ourselves may have been confronted by this same kind of anxiety, an anxiety that is often characterized by questions such as, why me, or why am I suffering, or why is God doing this to me? Well, even though the nobleman might have been led to Jesus by this spark of faith, his spark of faith was not without its problems. In particular, it seems that there was a problem that the nobleman had and shared with the crowd that had gathered around Jesus. And the problem was the short-sightedness of a faith that demanded signs and wonders to keep it pumped up. Jesus said to the nobleman and to the crowd around him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." Those words must have hit this nobleman, this official in Herod's court, like a cold shower in the middle of winter. But he wasn't about to let it show. Undauntedly, he again appeals to Jesus, "Lord, come down before my child dies." Isn't it amazing how little things managed to change in the course of almost 2,000 years. For isn't it the case that this same demand for signs and wonders manages to gain a firm stranglehold on people even today, to the point that they'd rather live by sight instead of living by faith? This attitude that demands and seeks signs and wonders actually points to an immaturity. It's an attitude that can be compared to that of a small child who pesters his mom and dad to show him they love him by buying him that special toy that he just can't live without. This immaturity shows up in a faith which has placed its trust in the physical and in the material. And it echoes the same thought as that of doubting Thomas, who refused to believe that Jesus had been raised from the grave unless he could see Jesus and place his hand into Jesus' side. I like to refer to this attitude as a God is my supply sergeant mentality. And as some of you may remember, those of you who might have served in the service, the supply sergeant was the guy that you went to who could wheel and deal to get you just whatever you wanted. But that attitude, that mentality, when applied to God, reduces him to some sort of personal errand boy who hops to our every request. Isn't that attitude that seeks signs and wonders, isn't that kind of an attitude just the opposite of how we ought to look at the things which enter our lives, especially the trials and the sufferings that confront us? For the disciple, suffering isn't to be seen as something negative. It's something positive. It's not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone, namely God, who has taken the time to become personally involved in our lives to give us a new and a strengthened faith, a faith which looks beyond the temporariness of this life and into the permanence of eternity. Paul in Romans 5 reminds us that our sufferings are to bring about perseverance. And how did Jesus define what it means to be a disciple? He said that a disciple was one who takes up his cross and follows Jesus. That means that Christianity isn't to be seen as a way out of suffering at all. It's a way into it, and it's a way through it. Here, in the midst of his suffering, stands the nobleman before Jesus. He stands before Jesus having made two desperate pleas for Jesus to come down and heal his son. But Jesus had turned that nobleman from a demand for signs and wonders to a faith which could grasp his words. So Jesus speaks his word to the nobleman. He says, "Go your way, your son lives." Jesus gave the nobleman a promise for his faith to hold on to, only a promise. But it was a promise that gladdened the nobleman's heart in knowing that Jesus had not only heard his request, but he had acted upon it. And how did the nobleman respond? The text tells us that the man believed the word Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. That was faith in action, the same faith that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews defines as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Neither was the nobleman disappointed. His faith received what it had believed. As he returned home, he found that his son was alive and well. So also has the Lord spoken his word of promise to you and I, to give us a faith which also moves into action. To us the Lord has declared, "Go your way, you are spiritually whole." You see that by nature we have the same problem as that of the nobleman's son. We are sick, spiritually dead, and doomed to that curse of hell that we deserve for our sinfulness. But to us, Jesus has spoken these words that are a heavenly benediction to you and I, these words that say, "Go out, go your way, you have been made whole through my life, death, and resurrection." Jesus empowers us to go our way because he went his way for us. That way of humility which began in the manger at that first Christmas. That way of sorrows that would lead him to the cross for our sins. For in that cross, Jesus gives us the sign for all time about how God feels about us. You see, that cross is the only measurement that we can use against our sufferings. For in that cross, how does God show us he feels about us every minute of every day? He shows us that he loves us. Loves us so much that he gave up his son to become our substitute, to take on our suffering, to take on our death, and swallow them up in victory. To be sure, as we minister to God's people, there will be pain and suffering, there will be misery and despair. And in our lives as well, there will be our own problems, our own deep searching questions, our own afflictions. But in this ministry and in the midst of our own afflictions stands God's sure and certain word of comfort as our only source of strength. The Holy Spirit works through that word and through the sacraments to give and sustain our faith, that our faith can endure, that our faith can be strengthened by the trials and sufferings that enter our lives, so that our faith can be a faith which keeps its eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That faith sees the promises that our Lord gives us. He reminds us, "Lo, I am with you always, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." May God continue to sustain us in our trials and in our sufferings through his sure and certain word of comfort. And may he guide us as we bring that same sustaining word of comfort to others, for Jesus' sake. Amen.